Jeremiah here tonight. Actually, this section, this one particular verse is kind of, well, it may be my favorite verse in the Bible. One of my favorite verses in the Bible from Jeremiah 33. And we'll read three verses, and then we'll refer to the previous chapter a little bit also. But I want to look at this. Jeremiah 33 and verse number 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. And then here's my favorite verse. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Isn't that a wonderful promise? And it has a much deeper meaning whenever you see the verses in the context of the chapters. It takes on an even deeper meaning. Jeremiah was a prophet to those in Judah, primarily in Jerusalem, those that were they were under attack, and they were headed into captivity. They didn't realize it. As a matter of fact, King Zedekiah, he would not accept the fact that Jeremiah was telling him the truth. Jeremiah in chapter 32 warned about the impending attack of Babylon and that they were surrounding them and besieging them. And even though he had warned them, they didn't respond. They just acted like that it wasn't going to happen at all. And so they threw Jeremiah in prison. Now, to be in prison is a bad thing, but to be in prison in a besieged city, a city that's surrounded, it's like a double prison that he was in. He was in a city that was under siege, and he was under siege because he was imprisoned for telling them the truth and warning them. It says he was shut up in the court of the prison, and he was there because he told them the truth. He had the courage to tell the king the truth, and that led him into a situation where he was thrown in prison. And it took a lot of courage to speak to the king and to tell him what was happening, telling the truth of what was happening. But this is really a picture of despair and hopelessness, and him telling them and this is actually the 10th year of the reign of Zedekiah. The 11th year is when it all happens. The 11th year is when Babylon finally attacks them, destroys the city, and leads Zedekiah and Jeremiah, and everybody, or most everybody in the city, is led away to Babylon to captivity, even though they wouldn't heed the warning and listen to what was happening. But here's the wonderful thing about this account. And even though it looks like gloom and doom and hopelessness, God has promises, and sometimes those promises are even good in prison, even in a bad situation. I don't know if you could describe a situation any worse than what they were in and what Jeremiah was in. But here's the interesting part of chapter 32, that in the midst of all that, he has a visitor come to see him in prison. His visitor is his cousin by the name of Hanamiel, and he comes to him and says, really, I'm going to paraphrase this, but he just says, the Lord sent me to you, and he wants you to buy my land. You need to buy my field. Now, it's not a good time to buy a field when you're in a double prison, when you're under siege, and even your own king has imprisoned you. It's not a good time to do business unless the Lord says do business. And the Lord said, It's time to buy the field of Anahath. And the reason that God wanted him to follow through with this and to buy this property, and when you read through the text there in Jeremiah 32, they buy the land, and all those in the court of the prison are the witnesses to the signing of the documents. They're all the witnesses of it, all in the king's court. They witness the sealing and the signing and the sealing of the deeds and the purchase of the property and all that's happening. And then they put those documents into earthen vessels. That was one of the ways that they preserved documents in that day. And the Dead Sea Scrolls were found in earthen vessels, having been preserved for hundreds and hundreds of years. And so that was one of the ways that they preserved their legal documents. And they were sealed up and they were preserved in those earthen clay pots. And when you read through the text, the chapter ends with a promise. And the promise is that I have prepared this for you. Now, Jeremiah was going to be taken away in captivity down to Babylon. He was never going to come back. But his children were going to come back. And his grandchildren were going to come back. And there was going to be a deed there buried in an earthen vessel. And God was saying, I'm going to provide for you and for your family and for your children and your children's children. I'm going to provide for them so that when all this is over with, that God is in the midst of all this trouble and this big mess that you're in, Jeremiah, I just want you to know that I'm thinking about you and I'm thinking about your family, and I'm going to give you this promise that when they get back, I am going to have a place prepared for them. Praise God. Praise God. Now that sets it all up for chapter 33, the text that we read there. Because after all that happened, then he says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. Nothing has changed. He's still in prison. The city is still besieged by the Babylonian armies. It's still a big mess, but God is still speaking to Jeremiah in the middle of the mess. Praise God for that. Now, I do know that some of you have gone through trying situations. You've gone through problems. You've gone through sickness. You've dealt with all kinds of different things, difficult times. Some of you may have even could testify, things were really in a mess. Things have been in a mess in my life or in my household or in my family. But even in the middle of all the mess, God can speak and he can work. And then just to confirm the fact that things are not out of control, he says, thus saith the Lord, this is verse 2, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. What was he saying? The Lord who established it, the Lord that made it, the Lord that formed it. What's all that talking about? It's the promise that God has a design in all of this. He shaped it, he formed it, he designed it. It's all a part of his plan. And God can use the biggest mess that you're in and turn it around for something great and wonderful. Amen. Amen. So I don't know, I might be speaking to some of you here tonight and you are really in trouble and you really have problems. You may not have even told anyone about the things that you're up against, the questions or maybe the doubts or the physical needs or financial needs or whatever that they might be. You may be really facing some things, but I want you to know that God can talk to you. He can speak to you in the middle of your trial. He can speak to you in the middle of your mess that you're in and send you promises even when you're in prison. Amen. Praise God. Praise God for the promises that can come to us in the middle of all of our trying situations. Amen. Now notice here, now we get to the verse that's my favorite verse. So he's speaking to Jeremiah in prison, in a double prison, in all of this circumstance, getting ready to be led away into captivity to never come back. But he speaks to him and says, I shaped this, I formed this, I arranged this. I have a plan in place. I have a design to preserve your heritage and your children and your children's children. I've got it all in place because you can call on me. Verse 3, call unto me. It's an interesting word in the Hebrew. It's a word that means to cry out out of despair, to cry out in desperation. It's interesting that mothers, they have ears, and then they have these special ears, I think, that are connected to their heart. Because you can hear little children crying and playing and having a big time and making all kinds of noise. But I've seen in my house, I've witnessed this many times, that mothers just jump and run because they know the difference in the cry of desperation. They know the difference, other than just the cry of, I'm mad or I'm upset. They know the cry, the hurt cry. And I think some dads know that cry too. They know the cry whenever their child is hurting and in desperation. And that's what that verse is talking about. That's what the word is, call unto me, cry out to me in your trouble, in your despair. Jeremiah was in that kind of a mess, and he's getting a wonderful prayer promise from the Lord. Jeremiah, in the middle of your mess, if you'll just cry out to me, I'll hear you. Just like a mother hears the cry of her child, just like a parent hears the desperate cry. Amen. I remember years ago, one of our girls, I don't remember what she was. It seems like it might have been Erica. She had a bike wreck right in front of the house. And she let out a squeal. And Marcia went running. And she heard the cry that she had hurt herself in a wreck. All of you know what I'm describing. What happens whenever a parent hears the desperate cry. That is the cry that this verse is talking about. A cry of desperation, a cry out to the Lord in the middle of your great need. Amen. Let me get my notes turned around here. That you can call on the Lord. He says, call unto me and I will answer. There's no other qualification. No other condition that's mentioned here. You don't have to be a good person. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to cry out to the Lord. Yes. Amen. Cry out to the Lord. Have you ever been in that kind of a situation? Have you ever been in that kind of a desperate time when you didn't know what to pray or how to pray? You just had a big need and you just cried out to God. Yes. That kind of a cry gets the attention of the Lord. I'm not saying he's not paying attention to any of your prayers. I know that he does, but I want you to know that the cry of desperation is a cry that catches the ear and the heart of the Lord. Call unto me, and I will answer. I will answer thee. So this is an answer to prayer. Number one, it's a personal answer. I will answer you. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad for corporate prayer. I'm glad for prayer meetings. But I'm glad that I can pray, and he knows my name. He knows my problems. He knows what I'm up against. And he knows my voice. He knows when I cry out to the Lord in need. That's happened to me a number of times over the years when I didn't really know how to pray or what to pray. I just found a place and I just got alone before the Lord and just cried out to the Lord. That's the kind of prayer that Jeremiah is talking about here. Call unto me, a loud cry, a desperate cry, a cry of desperation, a cry of great need. Call unto me and I will answer you. It is a great personal answer. I will answer you. Amen. God is no respecter of persons.
Amen. You don't have to call the preacher. It's okay to do that. You don't have to talk to mom or dad. Ask them to pray for you, because he's promised if you'll cry this prayer of desperation, he will hear you personally. It's a personal answer. Call unto me and I will answer thee. I will answer thee. A personal answer. And then he says, and I'll show thee. Amen. The promise here is that when you cry out to God at this level, at this kind of determination, and you think about Jeremiah and the mess he's in, and then he could cry out of his imprisoned situation, and God is saying to him, if you'll call on me, I'll hear you, I'll give you an answer. I will answer you and give you a personal answer. And then he said, and I'll show thee. He'll give you a visible answer. Amen. I'm glad for answers to prayer. Sometimes that we can't really know for sure what's happening in the answer to prayer. But I'm glad for times when I have prayed and there was no question or doubt. God moved in that thing. God answered that situation. It was a visible thing. It was an obvious thing. It was something that there was no way that it could be resolved if God had not intervened in the situation. Amen. A certain answer, a personal answer, a visible answer. That's the promise that he has given in this verse of scripture. I will show thee what he's going to show us. Great and mighty things. Amen. These words are describing something that's amazing, something that's powerful, something that is a demonstration of the power of God, that God can move if you'll call upon the name of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. God knows where you are. He knows your trouble. He knows your sickness. He knows what's going on, and he'll answer you, and he'll demonstrate in power if you'll put your trust in the Lord. It's amazing. It's powerful. I will show you great and mighty things. God is still in the business of demonstrating his power in our behalf. We need to believe that. Amen. Again, remember this verse in the context of the situation that Jeremiah is in, and that God is saying, okay, you're in prison. You're in a besieged city. You're in a really big mess. But if you'll call on me out of the midst of your despair, I will answer you. I will show you great and mighty things. And then the last part of the verse is, I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. It's interesting, when I looked that word up, knowest not, in the Hebrew, it's a word that's describing a door. Amen. That God, whenever he responds and moves and answers prayer in such a way, I'll show you great and mighty things. You don't know how I'm going to work. Amen. Have you ever said, Lord, here's my need, and here's how you can take care of it. Here's how you can work it all out. Well, God's plans and his ways are a lot bigger and better than your ways. So just put it in the hands of the Lord and call on the Lord, because he wants to open up a door and show you things that you could never know or never imagine, ways that he can work, supernatural ways that he can work if you'll call upon the name of the Lord. Great and mighty things that you don't know. Amen. The Hebrew word gives the idea of a door being opened up to reveal God's greater ways, God's plans, things that are beyond your imagination, things that are beyond your dreams. Amen. We think we can figure it all out, and we can tell God, here's my problem, and here's how you can fix it. Just do this, Lord, and take care of it this way. But no, God wants to reveal himself in some new, wonderful way. Open up the door and show you things, dreams, and imaginations that you could never conceive of or ever believe to see God working in your behalf. Now that is a wonderful verse. Get a hold of that verse. And every time you pray, remember it's a personal thing. He said, I will answer you. Amen. That means you, with your name on it. Amen. God will answer you in your situation and your need that you're in. I've told this a lot of times in the last couple of years. I told it when I went down to Georgia to speak at that men's conference a couple months ago. And I told about how when I came home from the hospital and I was so sick, and how that the Lord sent a stranger to our door to pray for me. Now, I could have dreamed that up. I could have figured that out. God just sent a man from the state of North Carolina that I had never known before. I don't know anything about him. I don't know who he was. I just know that he said, when he came to my door, he said, the Lord sent me to pray for you. And I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to ask him questions like, okay, who are you? Where are you from? And are you just passing through? You're evangelist. Are you just passing through? No. I'm from North Carolina, and the Lord sent me here to pray for you. God has ways of answering prayer and moving that we could never even dream up. We could never even imagine. We need to put our trust in the Lord. So God sends to Jeremiah in the middle of his prison situation this wonderful prayer promise. Amen. And it's for you as well here tonight. Amen. Whatever you are dealing with, whatever is overwhelming you, whatever your problem is, I can't imagine that it could be any worse than the mess that Jeremiah was in. He's in prison in a besieged city that's getting ready to be carried away to Babylon, never to come back again. But God sends him a word and says, I shaped this, I formed this, I designed this. I'm working this all out for your good and for the glory of God. And when it comes to the end of this 7-year captivity, your family's going to return. And I've already made the plan. I've formed it. I've shaped it. Just call on me and I'll answer you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We have not because we ask not. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. We have not because we don't ask God. He wants us to ask him. He wants us to call upon him in our need. Amen. If a father knows how to give good gifts to his children, how much more does our Heavenly Father give to us the Holy Ghost? How much more does he give to us the things that we really, really need? Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Right out of the middle of your need, God can speak to you and he can help you. Amen.